This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Live in Times Square, this is Good Morning America.
Guys, it is April 16th, which means some are a day late and a dollar short. What you need to know if you didn't file your taxes on time, the potential fees, and how it could impact your refund.
We begin with the historic criminal trial of Donald Trump. It's going into the second day of jury selection. Former president was in the courtroom for the entire day as nearly 100 potential jurors filed in. Most of them indicated that they could not be impartial and were dismissed. Aaron Kotursky starts us off at the courthouse in downtown Manhattan. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, George. Former President Trump arrived here a short while ago with a small wave, no protesters or supporters here to greet him. Headed up to the 15th floor, where the history of a former president being on trial is contrasting with the slow, laborious process of finding a jury to sit in judgment.
This morning, Donald Trump returns to the courtroom where lawyers are winnowing the pool of New Yorkers to find 12 jurors and six alternates to hear the case charging the former president with falsifying business records to conceal stories about his sex life from voters before the 2016 election. Trump using a platform no other criminal defendant has, a microphone in the hallway.
Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it.
Once seated in court, Trump was stern-faced. He craned his neck to eye prospective jurors and flashed a tight-lipped smile, one woman giggling in recognition of who was seated at the defense table. The judge asking if they knew potential witnesses, a who's who of the Trump family, campaign, and administration. Melania Trump, Ivanka Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Hope Hicks, Michael Cohen. The judge then saying, raise your hand if you believe you cannot be fair and impartial. More than half of the first batch of 96 potential jurors raised their hand and were immediately dismissed. In the hallway, one heard saying, I just couldn't do it. A cross-section of New Yorkers, an oncology nurse, a bookseller, a salesman originally from Ireland, answered questions one by one. A woman who works in retail sent home after saying she had strong opinions about Trump that would interfere with her ability to be a fair and impartial juror. Politics was always going to run headlong into this trial, and on the very first day, Trump found out how restrictive that can be. He asked permission to skip next Thursday so he can attend U.S. Supreme Court arguments over his presidential immunity claim. The judge said no. Arguing before the Supreme Court is a big deal, the judge said, but having a trial in New York County Supreme Court with a jury of 12 and perhaps six alternates, that is also a big deal. He needs to be present. Trump also asking to skip court the day his son Barron graduates from high school. The judge said, depends on how we are doing on time.
It looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial.
Prosecutors are already asking the judge to hold Trump in contempt over recent social media posts that they said violated the judge's gag order prohibiting Trump from attacking witnesses like Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. Defense attorneys said, George, that he was only responding to attacks from them, but prosecutors want a $3,000 fine. George.
Okay, Aaron, thanks very much. It's been our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, our chief Washington correspondent, John Carl. Dan, let me begin with you. So we saw many of the potential jurors dismissed. How difficult is it going to be to put a jury together here?
Very. I mean, look, these were the jurors who were honest, right? They came forward and said, I can't be impartial. The concern has got to be about the other half, the ones who are saying, oh, yeah, I could be totally impartial in this case. So this is going to be a process where initially it's the jurors self-selecting, right? It's the jurors saying, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. After that, the lawyers are going to begin the process of questioning them. Each side gets an opportunity to eliminate some without reason. And then beyond that, they'll have to make an argument to the judge for what the reason would be to dismiss them.
John, we've been talking about the political and legal calendars clashing for about a year. Yeah. Yesterday, it became real, and it felt like the dynamic may be changing from what we saw earlier when Donald Trump was so convinced that this was helping him every day.
Yeah, I could see it in his behavior, in his demeanor. This was a wake-up call for Donald Trump. This is his new reality. He is now criminal defendant Trump. Sure, he's been indicted four times. He's had to go to his arraignments. But now he has to be inside a nondescript courtroom in Lower Manhattan day after day against his will. He must be there, and he is in a courtroom where he has no control. The judge is the boss, and for the most part, he has to be silent. You could see the bitterness, the anger, I think the energy drained from him when he walked out of that courtroom at the end of the day. That was a different Donald Trump. And look, he was restrained yesterday. He didn't violate the gag order. He didn't lash out at anybody. But how is this going to affect his psyche and his behavior as he does this for the next roughly 2 months?
And what is he going to say as the witness? Is it once the jury is picked, as the witnesses start to testify? Dan, we already saw the prosecutor say he's violated the gag order 3 times. He's going to have to be careful when he goes out to those microphones.
Absolutely. Look, I'm surprised that the judge is even giving the defense team a week or whatever to file a written response to this. Typically, you would deal with this immediately, which brings up another issue, which is this judge has been pretty fair to Donald Trump. I mean, he keeps talking about how unfair.
No Access Hollywood tape.
Right. No Access Hollywood tape. No 8 other women who made allegations against Donald Trump going to be admitted in this case. The judge giving him this time to respond to the gag order, etc. All of this undermines the argument that this is a judge who is so hopelessly unfair that he can't give Donald Trump a fair trial.
But the biggest victory his legal team had yesterday was over their own client. He walked by those cameras, I believe it was 4 times, where he didn't say anything. And even when he went before the cameras, he didn't lash out. He didn't violate a gag order.
Thanks, both. Thank you both very much. Let's go to Michael.
All right. Thank you, George. We're going to go overseas now to Israel, vowing to respond after Iran's attack over the weekend. The Biden administration and other world leaders are urging restraint. Matt Gutman is in Israel with the latest. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Michael. We are in southern Israel at a military base, and what you're seeing here is part of one of the 130 ballistic missiles fired by Iran at Israel. You can see shrapnel here. It was knocked out of the sky by one of those Arrow anti-missiles. This is just a section of it. Just the fuel tank up here would have been the warhead, 800 pounds of high explosives. An Israeli official telling me their anti-missile shield worked perfectly, but it was also a matter of luck that one of these didn't hit a population center, killing dozens and possibly triggering a regional war.
The Middle East on edge this morning, with Iran vowing a massive response to the slightest action from Israel, as Israel vows to retaliate for that rain of missiles.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu convening his war cabinet for the 3rd consecutive day to discuss a response to that unprecedented barrage of more than 300 missiles and drones early Sunday.
We saw a response, multi-layered, multinational, against that would-be ring of fire that Iran intended on enduring and putting on Israel. We stopped that.
The coordinated response from a U.S.-led coalition, including Britain and France, thwarting the attack, the IDF saying 99% of those incoming threats intercepted. An Israeli official telling ABC News Iran actually increased the number of ballistic missiles it would fire once it learned of the scope of the U.S.-led coalition against it.
They knew that many were going to be defeated, but the aim was to get as many of them through Israel's defenses as possible.
And for the 12 minutes it took for those missiles to arc from Iran to Israel, American and Israeli officials unsure if their missile net would hold. It did. A senior Israeli Air Force official telling ABC News multiple Middle Eastern countries provided Israel with an early warning, and Israel's Arrow aerial defense system taking down ballistic missiles seen streaming over Jerusalem. The IDF saying this new video shows Israeli troops pulling one of those bus-sized ballistic missiles out of the Dead Sea. President Biden saying the U.S. is committed to the safety of troops in the region and to Israel's security, but the administration making it clear that the U.S. will not participate in any Israeli counterstrike. Iran says its attack avenged Israel's strike earlier this month that killed 2 top generals at a consulate complex in Syria.
And Israeli officials tell me that the most likely Israeli retaliation will be clandestine, possibly a cyber attack or a targeted strike against an Iranian official in Iran. But those officials say that a key consideration will be preserving this defensive coalition that the U.S. built to protect Israel. Michael.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for that. And the attack by Iran has Congress scrambling to pass aid for Israel and possibly Ukraine. Our senior congressional correspondent, Rachel Scott, is on Capitol Hill with the latest for us this morning. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, Michael, good morning to you. And this is a risky move for House Speaker Mike Johnson. For months, he has avoided saying how he plans to address aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Now, under growing pressure, he is unveiling his plan for the first time, but it is a complicated one. The Speaker of the House said that the House will not vote on the Senate's bipartisan foreign aid package that wrapped aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan all into one. Instead, Johnson plans to break that package up and bring four separate bills to the floor for a vote, one for each issue, and then a final bill that's really shaping up to be a Republican wish list with conservative policy wins. Johnson knows he has a razor-thin majority. He's trying to satisfy all different wings of his party so that he can keep the speaker's gavel. Sources tell me that Speaker Johnson did speak to President Biden by phone before unveiling this package to Republicans behind closed doors just yesterday, but it's unclear if Democrats are going to go along with any of this. Either way, Johnson says those votes will be happening this week, Michael.
I know you'll be covering that for us. And, you know, the House moved to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And today, those articles are going to be handed over to the Senate.
Yeah, exactly, Michael. The House voted to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over his handling of the border. He was the first cabinet secretary in 150 years to be impeached. So today, those articles will be transferred over to the Senate. Democrats pointing out there is no evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors, which is why they are expected to quickly dismiss these charges, Michael.
All right, Rachel Scott, thank you as always. Lindsay?
All right, thanks, Michael. Now to the U.S. Supreme Court allowing Idaho's ban on gender-affirming care for minors to be enforced. Devin Dwyer is live outside the courthouse for us with more. Good morning, Devin.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. The court did not weigh in on the merits of the law, but the conservative majority said it can now be enforced while a lawsuit moves forward. Idaho's law would punish doctors with up to 10 years in prison if they provide puberty blockers or hormone therapy to transgender kids under the age of 18. It has been challenged by two families seeking that care. The court did say they can continue to receive the care in the meantime, but Idaho now joins more than 20 other states in severely restricting gender affirming treatments. Over the objection of many American medical organizations, the three liberal justices here, Lindsay and George, said they would have kept the law on hold, assuming they'll take up the case some point in the future. George?
Okay, Devin, thanks. Go to the severe weather. Now it's on the move, threatening millions of Americans. Ginger tracking the dangerous storms, possible tornadoes. Good morning, Ginger.
Hey, good morning to you, George. About 100 severe storm reports, including up to golf ball-sized hail in Virginia. But it's back in the plains where our eyes go this morning because you're waking up in parts of Nebraska, Kansas, and western Iowa with a tornado watch, meaning that the conditions right now are favorable for tornadoes. We've already seen some on the radar. And what we'll anticipate is this moves through the late morning, early afternoon. So it's an early day event here. Des Moines, you're in it. Cedar Rapids as well, parts of northeastern Missouri and western Illinois. This is through the day today. And then it will keep moving. It's not going to stop there. And tomorrow, during the day, it will be southern Michigan, including Detroit, Ann Arbor, down through Fort Wayne, Evansville, Indiana, and Ohio. Remember, Ohio is leading the count for tornadoes already this year at 38. Unfortunately, could see more tomorrow. Guys?
All right. Thank you for that, Ginger. Overnight, Caitlin Clark was officially drafted by the Indiana Fever, the number one pick in the WNBA draft. Well, Lara is here with all the big moments, as always. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning to you, Michael. Yeah, coming in on the heels of that game-changing March Madness for the women's side, there has never been more interest in the WNBA draft. And last night, you could feel the electricity at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, where the draft was held as families, friends, and fans watched so many dreams come true.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
This morning, excitement hitting a fever pitch as basketball superstar Caitlin Clark officially launches her WNBA career.
I've dreamed of this moment since I was in second grade, and it's taken a lot of hard work, a lot of ups and downs, but more than anything, just trying to soak it in.
The NCAA leading scorer and overall number one draft pick, chosen by the Indiana Fever, basking in the moment with her family.
I told my mom before this is like, you know, I earned it, and that's why I'm so proud of it.
Thousands of fans from her new team erupting in celebration. Her new teammates ready with Clark's jersey in hand. Clark, one of several superstars taking their talents to the WNBA this year.
Cameron Brink, Stanford University.
After an electric season, number two overall pick Cameron Brink heading to the Los Angeles Sparks. Her godparents are the parents of NBA superstar Steph Curry.
The two have known each other since they were kids.
So I actually FaceTimed Steph like 5 minutes before the show started. So he just said to just have fun with it. I think he can just share so much great advice.
And Chi-Town doubling up on star power.
Camila Cardosa, University of South Carolina. Angel Reese, LSU.
Third pick, Camila Cardozo, and seventh pick, Angel Reese, former SEC rivals, now teammates for the Chicago Sky.
I had a goal to be here tonight and give my family a better life. So I'm just so thankful that I was able to be here.
I'm just so excited. I get to play with Camila.
And for the first time in more than 25 years, two Hawkeyes drafted in the same year. Clark's Iowa teammate Kate Martin, a surprise pick in the second round, heading to the Las Vegas Aces.
I was here to support Caitlin. All I wanted was an opportunity, and I got it, so I'm really excited.
So exciting. And thanks to number 22, the new rookie guard, the Indiana Fever says interest in tickets has spiked. And now 36 out of its 40-game season will be shown nationally. What a difference a March Madness and a very special player can make, guys.
Kind of got the chills watching that.
It's really heartwarming to see.
Very special. Lives changed. Yeah.
Hey, you know what's special? Caitlin Clark. And she is here live in our next hour. In a morning exclusive, we cannot wait to talk to her. And also ahead, we're going to tell you the first thing to do if you miss the deadline to file your taxes.
And an 81-year-old charged with murdering an Uber driver. Why police say they were both caught up in the same scam. First, let's go back to Ginger.
I hope you all got to enjoy some of that beauty yesterday. We made it to 82. There were people that made it into record territory. So if you look at a place like Louisville, Kentucky, they were 88. That broke a record. Many others tied through Illinois, Indiana, even in Delaware there. A lot of people in the mid-Atlantic got up to around 90. We'll see more where that came from. 10 to 20 degrees above average for so many. Nashville will approach a record today.
This is an interesting one. Coming up, we hear from a family after their pet octopus turned octo-mom, turning their lives upside down. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Following a lot of headlines right now, including former President Trump back in New York courtroom this morning for jury selection in his criminal trial. More than half of the first batch of potential jurors were immediately dismissed when they raised their hands and say they could not be fair and impartial. Also right now, the FBI has opened a criminal investigation into the Key Bridge crash in Baltimore. The agency will look into whether the crew left port knowing something could be wrong with the ship.
Also, the Olympic flame was lit early this morning in Greece, 100 days before the games begin in Paris. This is Team USA is finalizing the men's Olympic basketball team with some serious star power. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and for his first Olympic appearance, Steph Curry.
Wow, first one.
Yeah, I'm a surprise.
Yeah, me too.
And the legendary voice of New York Yankees radio for 36 seasons, John Sterling, has officially announced his retirement effective immediately. Sterling will be remembered for his personalized home run calls. The 85-year-old had taken on a reduced schedule in recent years due to health concerns. He issued a statement calling himself a blessed human being. He'll be honored at a Yankee Stadium ceremony this Saturday.
I didn't realize he was 85 years old. That's more surprising than Steph Curry in the Olympics.
Right. Wow. And we still have a lot more ahead, including what to do if you didn't file your taxes on time, all coming up.
We're going to go now to a tragic story out of Ohio, where an elderly man is under arrest after fatally shooting an Uber driver, where authorities believe they were both victims of a scam. Alex Perez joins us now with the details. Good morning on this tragic story, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Authorities say over the course of several weeks, this man had received several calls from a scam artist demanding that he hand over $12,000. And authorities say he mistakenly thought the Uber driver was somehow connected to this scam. Warning, the video may be tough to watch.
This morning, authorities warning the public after a phone scam turned fatal. This dramatic dash cam video capturing the deadly confrontation between a female Uber driver and an Ohio homeowner last month after authorities say they were both unknowingly targeted by scammers.
Getting a report of a female that has been shot. She's laying in the driveway.
81-year-old William Brock charged with the murder of 61-year-old Uber driver Lolitha Hall. Police say it all started when Brock received multiple calls from scammers who told him a relative had been arrested and demanded $12,000 for bail, telling him a driver would arrive at his home to pick up a package with the money.
The guy on the phone was trying to get money out of me. He was telling me he was going to kill me and the family.
Authorities believe the same scammers directed Hall through the Uber app to pick up a package at Brock's home. They say this video shows her walking up to his door with no apparent knowledge of the circumstances when Brock confronts her at gunpoint.
I was threatened that she was going to come and kill me.
You can hear Hall frantically trying to explain why she's there. Police say Brock took her cell phone, and when she tried to get in her car to get to safety, investigators say Brock shot her three times. Then he called 911.
I shot her in the leg the first time, and I shot her in the shoulder.
Hall later dying from her wounds. Officers searching Brock's home after the shooting saying they answered a call from a person they believed to be the scammer who agreed to a meeting but never showed up. Investigators saying they traced that number to Canada, but it's believed to be a burner phone number. Uber banning that account, cooperating with authorities, and in a statement saying, "This is a horrific tragedy and our hearts continue to be with Lolitha's loved ones." According to the FTC, in 2023, there were more than 33,000 reports of family and friend imposter scams like this and $89 million lost.
And Brock is out on bond and could face additional charges. Authorities say they want to remind everyone that law enforcement will never, ever call and ask for money. Guys?
All right, just a horrific story, Alex. Yeah. Thank you. Now to new details on the murder of two Kansas moms. Officials say the bodies of the missing women are believed to have been found, and four people are being held in connection with their deaths. Zareen Shaw has the latest on this story. Good morning, Zareen.
Lindsay, officials say this murder had been planned for months, and it was the daughter of two of the suspects who helped break the case.
This morning, the FBI confirming the deaths of two Kansas moms after their bodies were found in rural Oklahoma.
We're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 law enforcement officers. Truly, no exaggeration, working night and day for 15 days.
27-year-old Veronica Butler and 39-year-old Jillian Kelly disappeared over 2 weeks ago after the pair went to pick up Butler's children for a birthday party, with Kelly there to supervise the visit. But they never arrived, investigators finding their abandoned car just south of the Kansas border.
Nothing like that really happens around here.
Now four suspects in their deaths arrested. Tad Cullum, Tiffany Adams, and Cole and Cora Twombly charged with two counts of murder, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder. The affidavit alleging that Butler was in a problematic custody battle with Tiffany Adams, the grandmother of Butler's two children. Investigators stating that Adams had purchased five stun guns and three prepaid cell phones, all of them allegedly pinging near the last known location of Butler and Kelly at the time of their disappearance. The daughter of two of the suspects allegedly telling police the Twombleys were going on a mission, and when they returned was told that things did not go as planned, but that they would not have to worry about Butler again.
Officials say this wasn't even the first time that the suspects plotted to kill this mother, and that the suspect's daughter said that they previously planned to throw an anvil through her windshield while she was driving. Guys.
Oh, boy. It's hard to hear all of that. Thank you so much for that. Coming up, Russ Amara, Hannah Gutierrez getting the maximum sentence for involuntary manslaughter. Now, what it could all mean for Alec Baldwin.
We are back with Russ Amara. Hannah Gutierrez sentenced to 18 months in prison in the fatal onset shooting of Helena Hutchins. Mola Lange is in Santa Fe, New Mexico with a story. Good morning, Mola.
Well, George, good morning. An emotional Hannah Gutierrez begging the judge not to send her to prison, but that judge ultimately handing down the maximum punishment.
This morning, the armorer tasked with keeping weapons safe on the set of Rust, waking up behind bars for the fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins.
The state has approached this prosecution from a standpoint of compassion for Ms. Gutierrez, for her age, for her lack of experience. My compassion came to an end.
The judge handing down the maximum prison sentence to Hannah Gutierrez, 18 months, along with an emphatic admonishment.
You alone turned a safe weapon into a lethal weapon.
Ahead of learning her fate, Gutierrez addressing the Santa Fe courtroom for the very first time.
My heart goes out to the film industry for the devastating pain that this tragedy caused.
Begging for a chance at redemption.
The jury has found me in part at fault for this god-awful tragedy. But that doesn't make me a monster. That makes me human.
I'm the armor.
Gutierrez's defense team tried to paint her as the scapegoat for producers, including Alec Baldwin, who was holding the revolver when it went off, fatally striking Hutchins and injuring director Joel Souza.
Something that you guys had mentioned throughout the course of this trial is that she has been a scapegoat in this.
She was a scapegoat. You look at her role and what the other people's role was. You look at the producers. Several people talk about producers today and what they did and how the rushed environment they created, the safety problems. And then you look at throwing all of it on one person.
Gutierrez's attorney speaking exclusively with ABC News overnight.
Mr. Baldwin might face a sentence like Ms. Gutierrez did today, the full 18 months. So, yeah, you'd have to be very nervous. You got very good attorneys, and I know they're working hard on it, but I think he's got to be nervous at this point.
Well, Gutierrez's defense attorney tells me they intend to appeal. In the meantime, all eyes on actor Alec Baldwin's upcoming criminal trial. That's scheduled for July. He has pleaded not guilty to involuntary manslaughter. Guys.
All right, Mola, thank you for that. Coming up later, what to do now if you didn't file your taxes? And coming up next, what happens when you give your son an octopus and it has 50 babies? We're going to hear from the father and boy who dream of having an eight-legged pet turned into so much more. We'll be right back.
We are back now with a story going viral about a father, a son, and a pregnant pet octopus. Becky Worley joins us now. Becky, we know you have really enjoyed wrapping your arms around this one.
Good one.
You really couldn't help yourself, could you, Lara? No, there's so much to this story. But, I mean, it starts with the fact that hasn't every kid asked their parent for a pet, a puppy, a kitten, a turtle? But an octopus? For one family in Oklahoma, of all places, eight legs quickly turned into 400 and a race to keep all those octopi alive.
9-year-old Cal Clifford of Edmond, Oklahoma, has a fascination with all things octopus.
I've just loved them since I was 2. Because they're the closest things to aliens.
This obsession got legs when Dad Cameron bought a tank and promised they could actually get one.
We're going to build an octopus tank.
Thank you so much.
And the arrival of a mail-order California two-spot octopus in a plastic bag was Cal's dream come true. They named him Terrence. But then Terrence outgrew his tank. And then the Cliffords learned keeping an octopus tank was really hard.
The electrical issue was a little bit scary, and that was kind of a wake-up call. The reverse osmosis filter, although properly installed, had a leak. And so finding out that our kitchen island and floors needed to be ripped out, that was a little bit inconvenient.
And then Terrence the octopus became an octomom.
We kind of estimated there were about between 40 and 70 eggs, but every one that hatched that I saw, I was able to catch and contain. And it was exactly 50.
Terrence was renamed Terry, and the family assumed the eggs were unfertilized. But nope. One by one, they hatched. Each baby got a name.
Cianse was like this, like, hippie octopus. And then Swim Shady, he's just like tentacles in the air.
My wife named that one JC. So I think Bill Nye the Octopi is the most recent.
Hi, buddy.
When the babies started hatching faster than I could kind of catch them, I had to move a lot of them into the bathroom in these small containers because they would eat each other if they were put in the same container.
The makeshift incubators took over bathrooms and countertops that the Cliffords dubbed Clampsterdam. Realizing this was untenable for the long term, a local reptile buff stepped in to help house the babies temporarily. The moral of the story?
No, don't. Scientists don't recommend it.
But would they have done anything different?
Nothing really. I think he nailed it.
Clifford's TikToks about this situation are hilarious. As one commenter said, I came for the octopus saga, but I stayed for the dad jokes.
Oh, totally.
What we do for our kids, right, Lara?
Unbelievable. So, Beck, what is the future for little JC and the rest of the baby octopi?
Yeah, the Cliffords say that they're trying to get them adopted by educational institutions and aquariums, that they've turned down offers to sell them to individuals. They've learned their lesson, apparently. And hey, as for the plural issue of octopus, breaking news here. I reached out to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and they say the preferred term is octopuses.
Oh, shoot.
Who knew?
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
You learn something new every day on GMA. Thank you so much, Beck.
The moral of that story, you got to get the male octopus.
Yes.
You know, got to make sure.
Yes, they thought they had turns.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So, if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast, now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
Top stories breaking at 8. We start with the historic criminal trial of Donald Trump. It's going into the second day of jury selection. The former president was in the courtroom for the entire first day. As nearly 100 potential jurors filed in, most of them indicated they could not be impartial, were dismissed. Let's go back to Aaron Kutursky at the courthouse in downtown Manhattan. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, George. A little different here today. No supporters here to greet former President Trump as he arrived with a wave and away from the adoration of campaign-type crowds and the glitz of his golf clubs. The former president seems to be struggling to keep up with the grind of jury selection, now entering its second day.
This morning, Donald Trump returns to the courtroom where lawyers are winnowing the pool of New Yorkers to find 12 jurors and 6 alternates to hear the case charging the former president with falsifying business records to conceal stories about his sex life from voters before the 2016 election. Trump using a platform no other criminal defendant has, a microphone in the hallway.
Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it.
Once seated in court, Trump was stern-faced. He craned his neck to eye prospective jurors and flashed a tight-lipped smile, one woman giggling in recognition of who was seated at the defense table. The judge asking if they knew potential witnesses, a who's who of the Trump family, campaign, and administration. Melania Trump, Ivanka Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Hope Hicks, Michael Cohen. The judge then saying, raise your hand if you believe you cannot be fair and impartial. More than half of the first batch of 96 potential jurors raised their hand and were immediately dismissed. In the hallway, one heard saying, I just couldn't do it. A cross-section of New Yorkers, an oncology nurse, a bookseller, a salesman originally from Ireland, answered questions one by one. A woman who works in retail sent home after saying she had strong opinions about Trump that would interfere with her ability to be a fair and impartial juror.
Once again, Michael Trump is tethered to his seat. He stays largely quiet, and he's addressed generically as the defendant. Only his lawyers call him president. Michael?
I'm sure that's a little bit different for him, Aaron. Thank you so much for that. We're going to turn now to safety in the skies. The Union for American Airlines pilots says it's been tracking a significant increase in safety and maintenance issues. Ariel Reshef is here with more. Good morning, Ariel.
Good morning to you. This is unsettling. The American Airlines Pilots Union is sounding the alarm, citing a significant spike in safety and maintenance issues. The group says the airline is conducting fewer regular inspections on planes and has ended overnight maintenance checks unless a plane is specifically written up for attention and is running shorter test flights on planes returning from major maintenance. The union also says there have been incidents where tools were left in wheel wells and items were left in sensitive areas around where planes were parked at the gates. A spokesperson for that union saying that officials have spoken to senior management at the airline and were encouraged by the company's response. A senior pilot saying, "We fully intend to do everything we can to assure that American maintains strong margins of safety." And American Airlines telling ABC News that the company has industry-leading safety management programs that follow all FAA regulations, further bolstering its strong safety record. And though this is unrelated, this all comes as a Boeing whistleblower is set to testify on Capitol Hill tomorrow. The Boeing employee raising safety concerns about how Boeing 787 Dreamliner is produced. Boeing has called his concerns inaccurate and said the issues raised by the whistleblower were subject to rigorous engineering examination by the FAA and found not to present any safety concerns. But eyes will be on that testimony. Guys.
Sure will. Okay, Ariel, thanks very much. Coming up in our GMA morning menu, Caitlin Clark, number one pick in the WNBA draft, is here live. There you see her.
Also ahead, what you need to know if you didn't file your taxes on time, the potential fees, and how it could impact your refund.
Plus, we are springing into gardening season with some help from Lori Bergamotto, and Lara has a very special guest.
Do I ever? Rock legend Huey Lewis is with us today. He's going to tell us about his new Broadway musical, The Heart of Rock and Roll, plus a special live performance by the cast. So looking forward to this. Stay with us on Good Morning America. Welcome back to GMA. Next week, we are kicking off Earth Week with a series called The Power of Us, People, Climate, and Our Future. We'll have special reporting on the climate challenges we face and empowering stories about solutions.
Yeah, we love that. We're also looking forward now to our GMA cover story, the moment that changed Caitlin Clark's life, becoming the number one draft pick at the WNBA draft. Young woman who became the face of March Madness and who has rewritten the college basketball record books is here with us now. Good morning. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's hard to know where to begin. You've had so much happen in the last few weeks this entire year, but take us to that moment last night. What was going through your mind?
Honestly, I think it's super special. And, you know, sitting at the table, kind of obviously knowing where I'm going, you still get a little bit anxious when the commissioner walks out and says your name. It's something you dream of, like a moment I've dreamed of since I was in second grade. And be there with my family at the table was amazing, and to share it with them was super special.
And let's take a look at this video of some of your teammates and fans reacting to you getting chosen as the number one overall pick. How did that make you feel to see that?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, some future teammates. I think it just shows the excitement in Indiana about not only basketball, but women's basketball. It's mm-hmm. a state that really supports basketball, so I'm lucky to be going to that organization. And you can see, like, there's a lot of people there in the arena, like, just for a draft watch party. Like, that's pretty incredible.
So pretty awesome.
I can't wait to get there and actually be playing games. I know it'll be a packed crowd.
Yeah, they're pretty excited. Yeah. Our studio, by the way, is also a packed crowd today because of you. We thank you. I'm wondering, though, what was more stressful, sitting there waiting for your name to be called or being on Saturday Night Live?
SNL, and it's not close. I was so nervous. I've never been so nervous for something in my life. Basketball on the national stage, easy, but that was, like, before they rolled me into the set, I was like, my heart was, like, pounding out of my chest, but it went okay, so.
And you've been the face of women's basketball, of March Madness, and been credited with really being the driving force and sparking this interest in women's basketball. How are you handling all the pressure?
Honestly, like, I feel like it's something that just comes with it, and honestly, I don't feel a lot of it. I think it's kind of just come with how I've carried myself and how I've, you know, gone about my business every single day. And I think that's what I try to do the most. But at the same time, like, I always remind myself, like, this is a team sport. I have a lot of people to rely on. And then outside of basketball, like, I always rely on my friends and my family to be there and support me. So I think those are the biggest things. Like, I never really, at times you can definitely feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, but more than anything, like, to me, like, this is fun. Like, it's a game. Like, just enjoy it. Like, how lucky am I?
Yeah, that is the right frame of mind. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we have a special message for you.
Oh, gosh.
Let's take a look. That's scary, huh?
Hi, Caitlin. It's Kathleen Dre, your old third grade teacher. Just wanted to let you know how proud of you we are all at St. Francis. Seems like just yesterday you were in my class. We are all cheering loud for you. My current students and I are now the biggest Beaver fans. Go Beaver!
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. That was my third grade teacher. She had to deal with me in third grade and I was so competitive, so sorry to her, I feel bad.
But the fever is spreading. She says she and her class and all the kids at your school, and how about all the kids out there? What kind of message do you want to send to them? Or what would you like to say to them about achieving their dream? Because this has been your dream as long as you can remember.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is like just dream big. And, you know, obviously I went to the University of Iowa. I'm from Iowa. Like, I kind of just bet on myself and I always believed in myself. And I think that's the biggest thing from a young age. Like, my parents always instilled confidence in me. You know, they never told me I couldn't achieve something, but also like I worked really hard for it. And I think that's what I'm really proud of, is like I earned it, I deserved it, and nothing was ever like given to me. Mm-hmm. And more than anything, just believed in myself, and that's what I'm going to try to take to the next level.
You know, you said you had this dream since second grade. What was the initial spark? Where did it first come from?
Well, I grew up with an older brother and a younger brother, and I always wanted to be like my older brother. Like, whenever he was playing sports, like, I'd always tag around. I would cry all the time. Like, my mom did not like it. I just wanted to be like him. And then my dad played college sports, too, so... and he was my first ever basketball coach, so I would say, like, all of that.
It sounds like you were born with that competitive spirit. We saw some video of you the other day. I think you were in maybe second grade, mm-hmm. and your older brother had learned how to ride his bike without the training wheels. And so was that something that you could just remember, that spirit of competition from as a youngster?
And
I
want
to
hear stories from your third grade teacher.
Well, I got kicked out of PE class quite a bit when I was younger.
They had
my parents come in and have meetings about me being too competitive in PE class, so that was something. But yeah, I think like growing up with an older brother, like, he definitely pushed me. He never took it easy on me, and I think my parents could definitely tell from a very young age how competitive I was. Like, the day he learned how to ride his bike, I was like, no, I'm doing that too. Like, mom and dad, take my training wheels off. Like, let's go. So that's a cute little story.
But you said, you know, is there anything you are nervous about coming up? You seem like you take everything in stride. You seem so confident. Is there something you're a little nervous about?
Honestly, like, I don't feel like nervous. I feel like just excited and ready. I feel like it's the biggest thing is, like, I felt ready for this challenge, and that's why I decided to leave college. I could have came back for another year, but for me, like, I feel like my game is ready. I feel like from a maturity standpoint, like, I'm ready for that. I feel like there would definitely be some nerves once I get to Indianapolis, but at the same time, I feel like I'm definitely prepared for it.
Well, I tell you what, we're ready for it.
Yeah, we are.
And we're so happy you came here and you joined us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we know it's a lot of excitement. You need to get some sleep and everything else and everything that's going on. So, Caitlin, thank you so much. Give it up one more time.
Yeah!
Yes. And we look forward to watching you and the rest of the WNBA. Congratulations to you and all the young ladies who were drafted yesterday. And we're going to turn now to an important deadline, something else very important. Taxes.
Yeah.
Did you miss tax day? Well, if you did, do not worry, because there's still a way to file. And Elizabeth Schulze is here to help us and give us all the advice we need. And Elizabeth, what is the first thing that people should do if they miss the deadline to file their taxes or request an extension?
All right, Michael, this is an important one, because you know what? Procrastinators out there are not alone. About 20 million people actually do not file their taxes by that April 15th deadline. So the first thing you got to do here is figure out if you owe the government money on your taxes. If you do expect a refund or you owe it, you can figure this out by going to an online calculator. Go to a website like H&R Block or TurboTax. Enter your information. You don't even need to do all of the information to file. Just get a basic estimate. If it looks like you're going to owe money, try to pay whatever you can right now. Because here's the thing that's important to know for people who miss that deadline. Every day that those taxes are unpaid, you risk penalties and charges on that amount.
And what kind of fee do we talk about, penalties and charges?
All right, so the big penalty you want to know about here is called the failure to file penalty. And this is one that can add up quickly for folks. It sounds a little scary. Basically, 5% of whatever your unpaid taxes are for every month that your returns are late, it adds up to 25% of your total tax bill. So just think about it this way. If you owe $2,000 in federal taxes, you could end up paying up to $500. That's money you'd want to avoid if you have to. Interest is also going to add up on that money over time. So this is just a reason to try to get those done sooner rather than later. If this is the first time you've missed the deadline, though, consider asking the IRS for a waiver. They might waive some of those taxes and fees.
Okay, but if you owe money, what if you get in return?
And here's the good news. If you're expecting a return, it's okay if you miss the deadline. Not a big deal. You're not going to face those penalties. And actually, 2 out of every 3 people do get money back from the government. So if you are getting a refund, about $3,000 is the average federal income tax refund this year. That's up 5% from last year. So Accountants will tell you, don't leave that money on the table. Get that money now. Claim that refund. Important to do that as soon as you can, too.
Yeah, a lot of people count on that refund to come in.
They are.
So how can you check on the status of your refund?
Biggest thing to know right now is it's pretty easy to do that if you filed online. You can go to the IRS website, so irs.gov/wheresmyrefund. On that website, you'll have to enter your social security number, your tax ID number, and then within 24 hours of filing, you can check if it's been processed, if it's sent out, if it's been approved. If you filed online, it'll typically take about 5 days to show up in your bank account. If you went through the old-fashioned mail, it might take a little bit longer than that, Michael.
All right. Elizabeth, thank you as always.
Thank you.
You know, if you didn't file your taxes, you probably little
good stuff to know. Get that money if you're owed it.
Get that money. If you're owed it, go get that money. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. And time now for Pop News with Lara. What you got, Lara?
All right. Get over here, Michael. We're going to start with what else? The WNBA. As if women's basketball couldn't get hotter. This morning we're learning Serena Williams may be switching sports, guys. Huh. And heading into the owner's suite, the 23-time Grand Slam champion already has ownership stakes in Angel City FC Soccer Club and the golf franchise Los Angeles Golf Club. But now she says she is, quote, super interested in owning a WNBA team. Serena also adding that women's sports is having a moment that is long overdue. Williams is so confident in the future of women's basketball, she calls her potential investment a, quote, overly safe bet. Williams didn't give any specifics on which team she's talking about, but the league did announce in 2023 that it's expanding in the Bay Area with a team scheduled to debut in 2025. So maybe that's it. We will find out.
Exciting. I mean, who's better than Serena Williams to be involved?
I love it. Yeah. What a moment for women's sports. Hey, also in the news this morning, call them the Beatles' next generation. Two of the children of the legendary band have teamed up to create new music. Sir Paul McCartney's son James has partnered with John Lennon's son Sean to release a new song. It's called Primrose Hill. Here's a little listen.
Late on Primrose Hill, didn't know it still, you meant what you said. Always remember Primrose Hill.
They sound really, really good.
Like the Beatles, actually.
Yeah.
A lot. Proud dad weighing in. Sir Paul McCartney telling his fans on Facebook to check out his son's new music and sending his love to Sean Ono Lennon, who co-wrote the song. Primrose Hill is streaming everywhere now, and they say more music is on the way. It's exciting. And the art collection belonging to the late, great Norman Lear is going up for auction. The creator of shows like All in the Family and The Jeffersons was also a prolific art collector, according to Christie's Auction House, which will sell the pieces. They include a David Hockney painting, there it is, worth $35 million.
Wow.
This Ed Ruscha word painting from the 70s, that's estimated at $10 million. And Lear's personal friend, Roy Lichtenstein, gave him this piece. It's worth about $800,000. Seven pieces are being sold in the next month, more being sold at subsequent auctions at future dates. No word yet on what will become of Lear's copy of the Declaration of Independence. He bought that in 2001. He took it on tour to let the general public interact with America's founding document. It is officially owned by the Lear Family Foundation.
Wow.
It's going to be fun to see all of these pieces and see what happens with them.
Pretty amazing.
And then finally, guys, these old dogs are teaching us some new tricks. The Old Friends Senior Dog Sanctuary in Nashville, Tennessee, exclusively takes care of hundreds of rescues over the age of seven as they try to place them with loving families. At the shelter's annual Geezer Gala, nearly 200 supporters and dozens of dogs dressed to impress and crown this year's senior prom king and queen. Congratulations to Sadie and Spot. The Geezer Gala raised over $125,000, all of which directly benefits the 100 dogs living in that shelter and 500 additional dogs living in foster homes around Nashville. If you are interested in helping or adopting, check out Old Friends Senior Dog Sanctuary. They have a website, and we just love that story.
Yeah,
that's probably nice.
Yes.
I love that Geezer gal.
He's so
beautiful,
cute.
Beautiful.
And senior prom though takes on a whole new meaning.
Exactly.
Little tiaras on the dog.
All right, thank you, Lara, for that. Now we're going to go to Ginger.
I love those little gray faces. All right, so let's start out with the severe storms. And I want to show you Des Moines this morning, starting with a few raindrops on the camera, but also those low clouds. And that is ahead of the actual low-pressure system that will put you, Des Moines, and Cedar Rapids, and parts of Missouri and Illinois, in the severe threat today. So let's talk about it. This morning, waking up already with tornado watches in Kansas and in Nebraska into western Iowa. We will see that tornado shot late morning into early afternoon. So this is a daytime event for a lot of these places that are highlighted until tonight. Chicago gets it late. So I'd say 7 or 8 p.m. when that line blows through. And then that line keeps going and it twists right around the front. So tomorrow it's Ann Arbor and Detroit, Cleveland, back to Evansville in the threat area.
Now to an ABC News investigation into the Los Angeles County Probation Department. It's supposed to protect and rehabilitate vulnerable youth, but it's now in trouble itself. Our months-long reporting looks at more than 2,500 claims of abuse in the hands of probation officers, in some cases including sexual abuse inside their very own facilities. Dominique Anderson is one plaintiff among thousands who alleges in a lawsuit that LA County probation officers abused her.
You're not old enough to consent.
And that's the tough thing about being a victim. You never see it that this person is abusing their authority. You don't see it as them preying on you as being a child. You see it as this is a man of power. This is a man of affluence. This is an educated man. He's not a probation officer. He's a supervisor.
Dominique says after she reported being sexually abused by one of her probation officers, she was then approached by a female staff member asking her not to blow the whistle.
She said, he has a daughter, he has a career, he has a lot to lose.
What did you lose?
I think I lost my innocence, my self-esteem.
There's a saying that loosely translated in English is, who will guard the guards? And I'm wondering if you feel that anybody was.
No. And it's hard. It's hard when it's this pervasive because everybody's dirty.
Some of the accused probation officers have retired and are still being paid their pensions. Their attorneys in LA County deny all the allegations. You can watch the full report tonight on ABC News Live Prime beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern. I have to say that I am still thinking about these women that we interviewed. In some cases, they said that they, you know, were given a bag of chips in exchange for doing certain acts. It was really just traumatizing still.
So important investigation. Thank you, Lindsay. We'll be right back.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're springing into spring. Gardening season this morning with our GMA lifestyle contributor, Lori Bergamotto. And Lori has some essentials to spruce up your yard. Let's get right to it, Lori, because
yes,
you've got some deals.
Okay, so this one is incredible because it's under $5. It's super well reviewed. Everybody needs a watering can, right?
We really do.
Right, it's just a necessity. So this one is great. It's from Home Depot. People loved it. It has a really long spout, pours great. And really, they loved the price. They were like, you don't need to spend a lot of money on this absolute gardening essential. So pick this up.
Does the job.
It does
nice
the job.
Looking.
$5, and it's ergonomically designed.
This is not $5, but you say it's well worth it.
Exactly. Okay, so everybody needs a good lawnmower. It can be really confusing, though.
The lawn here, guys, looks really good, by the way.
Well, Lara Spencer, we cut it with this Ryobi. But it can be confusing because there's ride-on, there's self-propelled. But we saw that the most common kind for homeowners is this kind where you can push it, right?
They've
so
come
the walk
a long
behind.
Way.
Yes, they really have. Now, what's great about this one is it's battery operated. So it comes with a rechargeable battery, gives you up to 48 minutes of mowing time, has three different mowing functions for bagging.
So no gas.
Mulching, no gas.
Wow.
Side discharge. My dad is so proud of me right now. He's like, she knows about lawnmowers?
Yes.
I researched. This is great. And what they have, this has over 2,000 positive reviews. And we wanted something that was really performance driven by an industry leader like Ryobi. Today it's on sale for under $300.
Oh, wow.
So it's a great get.
It's
like, get it today.
Very chic lawnmower.
It is a chic lawnmower.
Yeah, I never thought I'd say that, but it is.
well, this is chic. The result is chic because you get beautiful flowers from this plant
auger. I have a really hard time with that word. But this is an auger. So what it does is it bores holes into the ground so that you don't have to...
Put your bulbs in.
Exactly. You put your bulbs in. Now, I know a lot of people are like, but you put your spring blooms in the fall. That is true. But you guys, if you miss the boat, there is still time to plant for summer blooms. So you can do begonias, dahlias, daffodils, tulips. And this is the way you can do it without having to get down there and dig holes. So you can do it. It attaches to a drill bit. It's under $12. This one has spirals. This is what you get.
This is what you get.
Is what you get, right? The drill is not included. And it will dig up to 16 and a half inches into the ground so that you can actually stand and do it.
All right.
So it's an incredible thing. You know, and under $12 will help you out.
We love
I know
birds.
You love this. So with 96 million birders in the country, that's the number right now, which is unbelievable. This is a great gift for anybody, but it's also great just for you. This attaches to a window, any window in your house. You want to keep it about 10 feet up from a ledge and down from a branch, and you will get a bird's eye view of the birds. They will come. It's like a little bird hangout.
It's really cute. It's Lucite. It's, again,
it's
very stylish.
Adorable. Under $35. And what I love about this is it comes with a lifetime guarantee, which is pretty incredible. It just suctions to your window. It's really relaxing and adorable. We love that. Okay.
What is this? Oh, it's a seat.
It's a seat and a bench. It's a two-in-one. Gardening can be labor-intensive, right? And if you're a person who maybe has some arthritis or just doesn't really, you know, your knees are hurting, this is a great thing. You can use it as a kneeling pad. It holds up to 330 pounds, tools on the side. And then if you want to take a seat, it turns right into a bench.
Really cute.
So it's a fantastic two-in-one, super affordable. And finally, we have a leaf blower.
We're going to blow you away.
We are going to blow you away. This is under $60 from Works. And what's so great about it has two different speeds. And if you're doing spring cleanup, it's a great time to get one of these. It has, like I said, two different speeds for tight spaces. And it uses a jet engine turbine engineering, but it is not that loud. You heard it before.
Yeah.
And so if you know you don't want to bother your neighbors and things like that, it's a great, great option. And again, under $60, everything's really super affordable today.
Wow, you did a great job.
Thank
I'm excited
you.
To get
Happy
planting.
Spring.
Happy spring, everybody, and thank you, Lori. Thanks. And you guys can shop all of these products on goodmorningamerica.com, and don't miss the second part of this series tomorrow when we move on from flowers to baby showers. Lori, the woman can do it all. Tomorrow she's back with Mom to Be Essentials. Thank you for that.
Thank
and
you.
Let's head over to Ginge.
Thank you so much, Lara. I'm still sore from gardening this weekend. So for all the future gardeners, or if you already know, your zone, the USDA zone, has shifted this year because as our climate warms, we're seeing that shift north just slightly. And so if you're getting excited, you've been real warm and you're like, okay, can I plant? Just know this, that parts of Michigan are going to drop to that frosty level, if not freeze. So watch that zone and then, of course, watch the forecast.
Have a great day, everyone.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.